produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to my Father's Teachings. My name is Terrence Burton. Before we get into the word that we're going to dig into and evaluate today, let's go before the Father and retrieve his wisdom and understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I yield myself to your spirit. I surrender myself to your truth. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so that we can see clearly what the Spirit of God has to say to us. And so, Father, you are glorified, which is most important, in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. Again, welcome everyone to the broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about three important words. And I'm going to extract these words from our text. So we have two passages that we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it says, I will stand up on my watch and set me up on the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The next passage that we're going to look at is Proverbs 29, verse 18, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. All right, so going back to Habakkuk, here is Habakkuk saying that I'm going to position myself to hear from God. And what he said is, I'm going to put myself in my spot on the tower, and I'm going to wait around. I'm going to watch to see what God is going to say to me. So he had an expectation that God was going to speak. And in the next verse, the next couple of verses capture what it is that God is saying to the prophet. And it says, and the Lord answered me and said, he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. So just to let you know the direction that we're going, the name of this message is Vision, Law, and Restraint. Let me say that again. Vision, Law, and Restraint. And that's going to make more sense to you as we dig deeper into this lesson. So anyway, the prophet has positioned himself before God, and God responds to him putting himself in the posture to hear. And so the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So get a hold of this principle. God told him to write the vision. Now, what is vision? Vision is where you're going. Vision is where you're headed to. You could say, vision is your hope, or it is your expected end. So God tells the prophet to write the vision, or write the expected end. All right? That's going to mean a little more in a moment. So he says to write the vision. But he says, don't just write it, but he says, make it plain upon tables. In other words, don't use a lot of complex language. Don't I want you to make sure that the message, that the vision is clear. And the reason you want it to be clear, Habakkuk, is in the next part of this verse, it says that he may run that readeth it. So he says, I want you to write the vision. I want you to make it clear, make it easily read, so that when other people read it, they can run with it. All right. Then in verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, the time that that you become aware or you see the vision versus the time that the vision comes to pass, there is a gap in between. Let me say that again. There's a point in time where you see the vision. Then there's a point in time where the vision comes to pass. But that in between time, there is a gap. So there are some things that God is wanting Habakkuk to understand so that he can manage the gap and also be able to help others managing that gap. And these are some things that you and I need to understand, because there are things that God has promised us. Now, let me just say this as an aside. When God gives you a promise, what he's doing is he's implanting vision in you. So there is a responsibility that you and I have to see the vision that the word of God has promised us in our own hearts prior to manifestation, so that we can manage our gaps as well. Praise God. So he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But then he says, but at the end it shall speak. So when you think about vision and the end, you're not talking about necessarily the end times. You're talking about that point when it actually materializes, or you actually have the thing that you envisioned in front of you in your life. He says, at the end it shall speak and not lie. Now, this phrase lie or not lie is very important, because one of the challenges that people have when God has issued a promise is that in that period of time where there is a gap, it looks like God lied to you. It looks like God told you an untruth, because you're looking at what, this is what God told me, this is what's going on. And so, God, are you being honest with me? Yes, God is being honest with you. And the reason, see, here's a point that we need to really grasp. God is not going to agree with your negative circumstance. So what you have to understand is that God is speaking something that he's wanting you to believe that will elevate you out of the situation. That's why he gives you vision, because the purpose of vision is to give you hope. Hope, the Bible says, is an anchor of your soul, of your mind. Well, why is that important? Because in that gap, your mind has a tendency to deviate. Your mind has a tendency to move. God said, by his stripes you're healed, and your body doesn't reflect it in the moment. And so your mind will start shifting as if what God said isn't true. Same thing relative to your finances. God says that I'm prospering you, and my will is for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so you're looking at your bank account and God's word do not match. So then you end up believing in error. You believe the testimony of your bank statement over the testimony of God. Why? Because you haven't locked in and allowed what God said to become an anchor, to anchor you. Well, what is the purpose of an anchor? The purpose of an anchor is to hold you in place. So that's why God gives you vision. Now, when I say hold you in place, I'm not talking about hold you in place where you're not moving anywhere physically. What I'm talking about is that the purpose of a vision is to give you hope that will serve as an anchor of your mind, because you still need to be moving and working towards what God has promised you. But your mind needs to be anchored. Your mind needs to be in the same place. And what I mean by same place is that you believe you're healed. You're not shifting. One day I'm healed, one day I'm not. Well, I'm looking at what my body is telling me. The other day I'm not. our minds, our hearts, our souls need to be anchored on what God has said. That if God has said, by his stripes I am healed, and he has said that, then you anchor your mind, you lock your mind onto that. That this is who I am. Why? Not because the situation looks like it, not because the situation agrees with the statement, but simply because you trust the one who said it. And I know that as I hold on to what God has said to me in faith, because it has produced vision in me, that at the end it shall speak and it will not lie, and God's word will prove itself to be true. Praise God. Now look, he says, though it tarry, wait for it. In other words, don't give up on what God promised. Don't give up on the dreams, the aspirations, the things that you are believing God for. He says, though it tarry, wait for it. It's going to make its manifestation. It's going to make its arrival in the atmosphere where you can enjoy it, where you can walk in it, where you can live that thing out. He says, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So that's the mindset that we need to have, that when God has released a word to me, when God has released vision to me, that I have an obligation to the word of God, that even though it tarries, I believe it, I'm waiting for it, because I know that it's coming in at an appointed time. So I'm good, because I know it will surely come to pass. So I'm holding my spot. I'm not letting my faith go just because of this gap between the moment that God said it and the moment that it manifests itself and materializes in my life. Praise God. So now that we've covered Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, let's look at Proverbs 29:18 in a little more depth. It says, where there is no vision. Now, think of vision. There's a word we tend to correlate with vision, and that's sight. And so what the writer is about to explain to us is what happens to a person who can't see. What happens? Now, we're not talking about blindness necessarily in the natural. We're talking about prophetic insight, prophetic vision, where you can actually see the thing that is coming in the future. Now, I'm not talking about horoscopes and all that kind of foolishness. What I'm talking about is that God has put vision in you. And what that means is that God has enabled you to see something that he has intended to come into your life. So he says, where there is no vision, where there is no sight, where there is no future sight. And it's important for you to understand future sight, because as believers, we need to see into the future. And what I'm getting at with that is we need to let the word of God paint an image on the inside of our hearts of what the future is to be for us. Like the word of God talks about, that I have a hope and a future for you. Praise God. So he says, where there is no vision, where there is no sight, something happens to those people who can't see. And it tells us in the next phrase, it says the people perish. Now, the word perish means lose control. So you could read it like this, where there is no sight, where there is no vision, the people lose control. Now, this would explain why there are certain aspects of your life you have lost control over. Because it looks like the problem is what's going on in the natural, when really the true problem is what's going on inside of you, what's going on inside of me. Now, I'm not saying that in order to insult anybody. I'm saying that so that we will begin to evaluate ourselves and say, Father, give me clarity of vision. Help me to see what it is that you want me involved in. Help me to see what it is that you want me participating in, that you want me to do. Father, give me insight. Help me to see the plans, the hopes, the dreams, the future that you have ordained for me. Because, watch this, the word perish means lose control. So if I don't have vision, then I can't control. Because vision is the tool that we use to determine what behaviors we will participate in. Let me give you an example. All right. So your vision is for a healthy body. All right. That's your vision. That's your expectation. That's what you see. You see yourself walking in health. Now, along with that is an understanding, or should be an understanding, of healthy principles. And what I mean by that is your vision ought to also affect whether you exercise. Your vision should affect what kinds of foods you put in your mouth. Your vision should affect what kinds of things you don't put in your mouth. See, some people say they believe or they want God, they want to flow in health and healing, but then they're unwilling to correct themselves. And so vision ought to be the tool that we use to correct ourselves. Wait a minute, I'm going to make adjustments in my life based on the vision that I have. In other words, so you could say it like this. I'm going to use a different example. Let's say what it is that you want financial strength. You want financial health. Then your belief, or you see yourself as financially stable, financially secure. So then what your next phase is to govern your life based up on what it is that you hope to achieve. Meaning you start minimizing debt, so you're not buying a whole bunch of stuff on credit. You start saving a little money. You start investing. You start sowing. Why? Because you want to make sure that you're cooperating, that you are cooperating with vision. Because, and I separated those words for this reason. Because in order for vision to come to pass at an individual level for our lives, there has to be cooperation. Many times the failure that we have is due to the fact that we want vision to come to pass without our participation. But we need to understand that vision needs our cooperation. I need to do things that are in step with vision, not just have vision. You follow me? So he says the people perish. So where there is no vision, where there is no sight, the people perish, which makes sense. It would be like saying then that, of course, a person who's driving the car, if they're blind, you already know which way you're going. It's not going to be a safe trip. And so that's really the same thing that the Father is communicating here, is that in order to drive or control the wheel of your life, you have to be able to see. Because if you're driving in the natural, if you're driving down the road and somebody blindfolds you, you're crashing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are going to end up in a ditch. You're going to end up hitting other cars. You're going to end up with something traumatic happening. Now, this will explain why we're in the situation that we're in as a nation. Why? Well, where am I going? Here's where I'm going. Because what happens is we can't really see where we should be going. And as a consequence, we're hurting each other. We're running into other people and wrecking their lives by our lack of vision. That is why you have people committing robbery. That's why you have people committing homicide. That's why you have people bad-mouthing people, lying on folks. All of that is tied to vision, or the lack thereof. The lack of clear vision. Because people with clear vision of where it is that God has for them, they're not lying on people. They're not trying to bewitch people. They're not trying to hurt people. They're not out there mugging people. They're not out there murdering people. They're just not doing that. Those are not the behaviors of a person with God vision. Why? Because a person with God vision understands that those are not things that God wants them participating in. So, in other words, if you lack vision, you become a danger to those around you. That's how critical it is. See, let me say this. Because oftentimes, I think that we're not necessarily praying things that we should pray. Or make priority in prayer. Let me say it that way. And here's what I mean. Oftentimes, we're praying for things when I believe a wiser prayer many times will be praying for vision. Well, why would I make that adjustment? Why would I say that? Because if I can't see what God has for me, then how can I know what to pray for? So I'm saying words without clarity. And it doesn't matter how many things you get. The word is telling us that if you can't see, you're dangerous. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what profession you're in, whether you are a preacher, a lawyer, a politician, prostitute, whatever profession you're in. Vision is of utmost importance because, and I'll say it again, I'll say it as many times as I have to in this particular show, that if we don't have vision, we're dangerous. And that is why it's important for us to pray for vision. Think about this. Paul said he prayed for the eyes of people's understanding to be enlightened. So he's praying for their vision. And so likewise, that's what we should be praying for people. See, we pray for the stuff that seems to be more immediate or the things in the natural. You know, we pray for folks' families and all, then we should pray for folks' families. But we need to pray for folks' families to have vision. We need to pray for them to have for them to see clearly what it looks like to walk in love. We need to pray for them to see what it means for a husband and wife to truly treat each other right. We need to be praying for people to see. Because without sight, they have no reason to do certain behaviors. Because vision gives you reason, and vision will actually serve as the thing that controls behavior. And so the reason we have people so out of control, rather in life or, well, always in life, but the reason we have people so out of control is because of this right here. So when you're seeing the news, the nightly news, and you're seeing people behaving in ways that are harmful to other people, threatening people's lives, taking people's lives outside of defending themselves or somebody else, know that you're looking at someone with no vision. Know that you're looking at someone who doesn't understand that God has hope and a future for them. But you know, the most important thing from this is to make sure that you're not one of those people with no vision. To make sure that you're not one of those people with no hope. Praise God. Because you understand that vision is what God uses on the inside of a man's heart so that that man can control himself. So why would I say vision, law, and restraint? Because clearly we can see vision in the first part, and then we see the word perish. Again, it means to not control yourself. So we see restraint housed in that word perish. Where do we get law from? I'm glad you asked. He says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, God's word. Now, under the old covenant, when God is talking about law, he's talking about the principles that he has laid out for human conduct. Now, what's utilized as a basis of that is the Ten Commandments. And when you think about the Ten Commandments, when you're talking about you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, those are all tied to the objective of treating people in love. So the vision would be that you're treating people in love. But the law would be, I'm not coveting someone else's spouse and things like that and so forth. And so what I'm getting at is this. When God gives you vision, there are also things that you need to do to keep in harmony with that vision. There are behaviors that must be practiced in order for your life to align with vision. And so he says, the person who is keeping that law is tied to vision. He said, that person is happy. Why are they happy? They're happy because they've gotten themselves in sync with the Father. Because happiness is not, true happiness is not really based upon the outward situations and circumstances. True happiness is found in getting in alignment with God. We're going to end right there. I thank you so much for joining me. You have a blessed day. I love you and thank you very much. I'll see you next time. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.